So this is just towards the end of the passage, talking about the Magi visiting the Messiah. So this is the Magi just left Herod. It said, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The reason I wanted to bring that is because it reminds us of what we're doing when we come to worship. When it talks about the Magi bowing down and worshipping, I think I've preached on this before, but the Greek word that is used is proskuneo, which is where we get the word to prostrate oneself from. And so that's exactly what the Magi did. They literally lay themselves before the Christ child. And in worship, that's what we're doing, whether we're doing it physically or metaphorically or kind of as a in our heads, so to speak, that we are laying ourselves down before God. We are making ourselves vulnerable before God, and we are giving ourselves over to him in worship. And so as we worship in spirit and truth, then there is very little of us and everything of God. So let's just have a moment's silence, and we'll continue in worship as we sing. You can sit, you can stand, you can do pretty much whatever you like as we worship. So let's just be quiet.
Okay, I've got my few notes. So I guess lots of you will know that the bus has been an ongoing project for us for a number of years. We've kind of spent a lot of time getting it up to a usable state, and we must kind of thank all those that have had a role in that, because it has been a huge undertaking. I guess kind of imagine, you know, doing some work on your house, but it's not your house, it belongs to somebody else, and you're doing it all in your free time and kind of unpaid. So huge thanks to everybody that's really helped out with that. And the bus is now at a point where we can start using it. But I guess the question has been for a long time, what are we going to use it for? And we've taken it out to the 10K, and obviously it's been a really great kind of central focus, and we've looked at using it at the Festival of Transport, but a massive problem has been that it just doesn't get used enough. So each time we come to it, there's kind of little fixes, or the battery's gone or whatever. So it needs to be kind of used much more regularly. And I know that Robin have both been putting a lot of effort into kind of getting coordinating it and getting it to a place where we can use it, but it needed someone to kind of pick that up and run with it, and I stupidly volunteered. and part of my reason for doing that is really because I feel very strongly that we had a vision for the bus, and it was clearly a God-given vision, and that maybe the time has passed, but we don't know that unless we actively try and kind of pray into it. And also there might be a sense of we need to use it and see what is out there and see where God is leading us. And I don't think that just because it's taken a while to sort things out that God kind of changes his mind and says, I don't want you to do that anymore, unless God very definitely says that. And I don't think that anybody has kind of said all that in so many words. So that was kind of where I was at. And obviously Robin has had a lot of involvement with the bus. And so it's been something that we've both kind of talked a lot about. And I felt like it needed to kind of just have somebody who had a little bit of time to kind of go, I'll do that and see what happens. And maybe it's for a season, but for now, I really want to kind of get the bus to a point where we can use it and use it on a regular basis. So in terms of practicalities, what I've been doing just more recently is looking into driver training, because we've got a number of volunteers, but we need them to be trained to satisfy the insurance requirements, which are 15 hours of driving experience. We're hopefully got a local company who's going to do some of that training for us. We will have to pay for that, and we might have to look at doing some fundraising to kind of cover that. But in the short term, we can definitely get 4 drivers trained. So that would be brilliant, because then we've got the resource to kind of do that on a rota system and get people out. In the kind of next few months, what I'd really like to do as well is try and get volunteers to, I think we really need definitely a driver and somebody else to go out with the bus every time it goes out, if not a third person as well. So I'd like some people to kind of, I guess, take on a bit more of a bus conductor type role, where they know how everything works, they know how all the equipment works, they know how, you know, where things are stored on the bus, so that between them and the driver, you know, you've got at least a couple of people who know the bus inside and out. And if we can have a third person every time it goes out, that would be brilliant, just to kind of be a bit of backup. And partly from a practical point of view of, it's a big vehicle, so if we've got 2 people, you know, one person driving and someone who can direct them to reverse and things like that, then that would be preferable. So that's my kind of hopes and what I'm looking at in the future, is to get those bit of practicality sorted, so to get the drivers up and trained. We're looking at getting it MOT'd, or at least getting a certificate of roadworthiness, so that we know that it's kind of good to go. And there's every chance that when we do that, that might incur further costs in terms of just fixing bits of stuff, because I know in the past that when it's been serviced, there's stuff that's kind of come up as an advisory, so that will also be a bit of a cost element, hence why we're looking at fundraising for the training, so that at least we've got a bit left in the bank. So as I was kind of having those thoughts and thinking, I think I ought to volunteer for this, Ruth was also having some conversations with Becky Richards. So when I met with Ruth to say, I think I'd be keen to kind of look at this a bit more, she'd also been having a conversation about a project that the bus would be perfect for. And I don't know about anybody else, but that seems to me like very much God timing, because, you know, we've been wanting someone to pick the bus project up for a while. And then at the very point that somebody says, I'm interested, then we've also got a project that it might be perfect for. And that's what we want to pray into tonight. So the kind of idea, and I'm sure Chris will talk a bit more about this, the idea is that a lot of the kind of villages around obviously have young people growing up in them, and we know that mental health is becoming more and more of an issue, and isolation and loneliness. In the beginning, I guess we're thinking much more about young people, but then there's every opportunity to spread that out into different age categories as well. The kind of idea that Becky has been thinking about, and thinking that the bus would be perfect for, is to kind of run a sort of drop-in place where teenagers in the villages could come and talk and just get some support and a sense of kind of befriending, really. And it might be that you know, there's kind of a bit of a sort of, you know, nice place to hang out and kind of come in and talk, but also that volunteers would be trained in kind of understanding mental health and being able to talk about that. So some of you might have heard that more recently schools have been investing in kind of first aid courses for mental health, and those courses are now available more widely. So the idea would be that we'd get volunteers who were trained, had done some training in those kind of areas, and we're able to just get alongside young people, build relationships, and possibly kind of, we can think about if we need to build links and refer elsewhere, then that is something that we can do, but at the very least just to start building relationship and being able to get out. And obviously we've kind of thought about the other things that we have in town, that it might be great to be able to offer a service more widely in terms of thinking about, you know, kind of, there's not a lot of sort of central places around anymore, are there, where you can get benefits advice and things like that. So whether the bus could then be a bit of a place where you can go and get some information about CAP or the food bank, or kind of things that you need help and support with. So there's all sorts of ideas that could stem from this beginning point. We just need to get the beginning point going, and then we can start to kind of look wider and look at kind of what the needs are. But I guess from our point of view, having met with Becky, you know, she's living in Cheseldine, she knows what some of the issues are, and so we can then kind of be able to sort of build that from that starting point further out and look at other projects that the bus might be able to do. And of course, you know, having a kind of place where kids in town can come and drop in and sort of talk about things if they're concerned about things as well, because that would be brilliant too. So that's kind of where we're up to and what we're looking at.
Cool, thanks. Chris, Chris Simpson, as many of you all know, who is rural dean at the moment, having stepped up to that. So, but still kind of overseeing Henstock.
I work with Becky Richards. I'm her associate minister, so I'm responsible for Henstock and Sandbrook. But I'm also the rural dean for our area, sort of with oversight of the 17 churches, which is how I've got involved in this project called for Rural Youth. Strangely, I think about 18 months ago, the church commissioners decided to give some money to different projects in the Lichfield Diocese, and it was decided in the Shrewsbury area that we would really be looking at youth. And there are four different projects going on, all under the umbrella of For Rural Youth. And because Andy Aykroyd, who was the team rector before Becky up at Cheswardine in those six churches there, was doing quite a bit of youth work at Cheswardine, but also involving young people from within the deanery, then really Hodnett Deanery was chosen as one of the places to get a grant of £30,000 for over 3 years. Well, unfortunately, at the time, we had quite a bit of a change in clergy. We had four people leaving, and it took a while for them to be replaced. Unfortunately, one of them happened to be Andy, so the youth work didn't really get off the ground to begin with at all. And then about a year ago, just after Becky had come, we decided that we really did ought to start looking into it. But I know you've been talking about patience and timing, and really we didn't want to be pushed into doing something just because the money was there. It's great that the money is there, but we have to pray about it and decide how it's best to be used, rather than sort of jumping in and deciding, oh great, you know, we'll go and we'll do this and we'll do that. Becky still leads the Frogs youth group up at Cheswardine, which has young people still from within the deanery. That's Friends Reliant on God's Support, in case anybody knows what Frogs are. I believe that we met together with some of the young people from the Methodist Church and went bowling and things like that. And really we felt from the outset that we don't just want it to be an Anglican thing, because we want to work ecumenically and work together. And we've had one or two prayer meetings. We had a meeting just for our deanery, a short meeting which I think Ruth came along to, at the Amica Centre over towards Whit Church in Ikefield. And then we had a full day, which again Robin and Ruth came along to. But at that first meeting that we had, really the thing that really went into our hearts was the idea of some kind of support for young people in the way of mental health. I know Becky said that often when the Frogs young people pray together, the thing that they're praying for is their friends who are going through really difficult times. And we all know how hard it is for young people at the moment, really feeling low and having so many pressures on them and even becoming suicidal. And that's the area that we felt drawn towards. I don't know if you know Richard Clarkson, who looks after the Amica Benefice. Well, his wife has been on a mental health first aid training course, quite an intense one, and I think she'll be able to do some training herself. And the Lichfield Diocese are really offering quite a lot of that kind of training for people and encouraging folk to go along to it. I know two of the people from Christchurch have been on the course, and it's a very good one. And that's the area that we really have prayed, and we feel that's on our hearts. And that's where the bus comes in. The idea of being able to go out to the young people in our villages. I mean, at Henstock, for example, we used to have a youth club, but unfortunately that folded a little while ago because we just couldn't get the help towards it. as you know, with all the sort of health and safety and the training that you need, and that puts some people off doing it. And it's just really a vision that we've had about this bus. But we've been waiting and praying. You mentioned waiting, didn't you? And sometimes it's quite a hard thing to do, just to see that whether this really is what's on God's heart, as well as being on our own hearts. So thank you very much for being able to come and share with you. If there's any questions you want to ask me, then please do so.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris. What I'm going to suggest is that we need to crack on and pray, because ultimately that's why we're here. You've heard, there's probably lots of questions that are buzzing around your head about what ifs and what that. Actually, most of me thinks those are irrelevant at the moment. Yes, there are details to be battered through and everything else, but actually we want to just seek God and kind of go, and does this excite God? Not does it excite us, because to be honest, when we hear about anything missional and kind of possible outreach, but I get excited, but my question is, does it excite God? So what I want to do is I just invite you to kind of get into small groups where you are. I'm not going to pray as a whole at the moment, but in sort of small groups, twos, threes, fours, whatever, but small enough so you can really hear each other, and not so big that one person prays and nobody else gets chance kind of thing. So maybe twos and threes. Let's just gather together and just bring it before God and go, God, I'm just going to encourage you to just spend the first few moments. Don't speak straight away. Just have a few moments breathing in God's spirit, so that we will be in silence and we will just have the opportunity to listen to God before we start praying. So, in fact, do you want to get into kind of groups? Just gather yourselves a little bit, and I'll lead us. Let's just have a moment's silence before we pray. God, we give this time to you.
I mean, partly because I have for many years anyway, but I see the bus in Hinstock parked on the lay-by outside the Methodist Church, with the cable running across the road into the Methodist Church. So you've done suddenly have a satellite area, and you suddenly have a bigger complex, a redecorated church with toilets, for what it's worth. I see it sitting at the park up at Buntingsdale, where the chapel used to be. Where the military chapel used to be. And these different areas, I see it on Arlen Square car park, where there's electric hookup into the marketplace, again where another chapel used to sit, the old tin tabernacle many years ago. And I think there's something that, where God has touched places in the past, and where he's calling this bus to go back to, and maybe that I'm just speaking now as it comes, but maybe the reason that so many people are facing the different issues that they are, like the mental health issues that we have talked about, is because of the, no disrespect to anybody from any denomination or whatever here, but of the decreasing presence of God's people in these areas. But I believe in the God, as we've had many times recently, where the flame keeps burning, these little sparks, these little flames keep going. They don't go out altogether. They never do. And that one day they will start to stoke up again, these fires. But I believe that we do have to, this is like the outpost that goes to different places and takes the fire.
A jingle on them. Can we sort that out on the bus, can't we? We'll have a little tune going. Thank you. I want to encourage you to keep praying about this. I'm going to put this, get this put on the website as well, so that people can hear what's been shared as well a little bit. Rich has cowling, I'm just scowling at me, but and apart from that, just so that people can kind of start keep praying about it. Obviously, we'll take this. We'll take this to church council as well, and just with continuing conversations with Chris and with Becky, and just to try and take this forward. The first thing that we need to do is already kind of getting underway in terms of the driver training, which we just want to pray that they're the right people. We've got the right people and everything else. And if we need to fundraise, then we need to fundraise. And but we're really good at that, actually. You know, when people go, I can see a way, I can see something, I can see a purpose, I will give. We are generally pretty good at that. So I'm encouraged and excited by this, but it's something we need to take to the whole church. We're going to sing this song, which, oh, sorry, Robin.